It's that time again on a Friday when AM Live presents another update from the coalface with Martin Creamer, publishing editor of Engineering News and Mining Weekly. A very good morning to you, Martin.
And to you, Kalani.
Thank you very much for coming through again. Well, struggling platinum companies, here we go again, they are throwing themselves headlong into market development and they're stripping out of company overheads, Martin.
Yeah, this is a different strategy than we saw with the chrome miners when there was a dip in the demand for chrome. We saw them just stop production immediately and they put all their 6,000 workers with one of the companies back to school. Mm. And this is a different philosophy now coming from the Amplats, the world-leading platinum miner. They've gone headlong now into platinum market development because they see that that is where they can gain from demand. They have been too Eurocentric, and this dependence on Europe has also come back to haunt us now, and they're also looking for greater geographic demand if they can. Mm. But the biggest thing is that they also suffer from a rich child syndrome. Mm. You know, mm. they were born in times of plenty, and their overheads are out of line with many of the other companies, particularly Anglo American Platinum. So they're going heavily into the overhead, stripping out their overheads. That's before they even think of, you know, talking about right-sizing the number of people they've got. They've got 58,000 employees. So, you know, it's a lot of people to deal with. They want to deal with this in the correct way, and they want to make sure that they are lean and mean before they start possibly downsizing and right-sizing the number of people. But this market development is around fuel cells. We've been talking about it a long time,
yeah,
because the loading of platinum on fuel cells is about four times more than on the autocatalysts. And, you know, their biggest market is the autocatalysts. If they can go into fuel cells, they get a bigger loading there. And they're also looking at LED lighting and all the other things. So they have been talking to government, you know, for the last 3 years. They have been funding this market development for the last 3 years, government as well, with 100 million rand. And now, hopefully, they can accelerate the market development to build up demand for platinum. We're desperate for it.
Fantastic. Well, in a showcase achievement, then, Martin, South Africa's biggest iron ore miner has now paid a whopping 16 billion rand to its black economic empowerment partners.
You know, we often hear that BEE hasn't been a success, but if we go to Kumba Iron Ore, we'll see what a success this has been, black economic empowerment. I mean, in 6 years, this company has only been listed on the Johannesburg Stock Exchange for 6 years. I can remember driving out to Pretoria in 2005 and watching Dr. Konfukonia and Sipa and Kozi put their heads together and decide how they were going to unbundle those state assets at that time, you know, ISCO. And they then had overtures from Anglo American, which bought heavily into Kumba. So 26% of Kumba was immediately given to black economic empowerment partners. And the biggest of those were Sipho Nkosi's Exxaro. And we see that his company just benefited hugely from the dividend flow from Kumba. And he's now a top 20 company in South Africa and also our biggest coal producer. But if you look lower down at the 3% that they gave to the community and the 3% to the workers, that community value now, that shareholding, that 3% is worth 7 billion rand. And we saw that those community shareholders has been able to pay off the loan to buy those shares in 4 years instead of the expected 10. So they were able to get, you know, 500 million rand cash, you know, last year in dividends. And we see the dividend flow continuing. Also, if you look at what is happening there in education, I mean, I saw one of the nursery schools that I went into. I mean, this was mind-blowing. Mm. And this is all from funding from the mine and from the BEE deal. And then cascading down to the 3% held by the workers. We saw what happened there. 2.7 billion rand they could cash in. And unlike the community, which aren't allowed to sell the shares, the workers are allowed to sell their shares. They're allowed to realize the value. And we saw them do it. And we saw 6,000 of them become half millionaires overnight. Mm. Now they've gone into a next five-year tranche, which has just begun. And again, they've been helped because they've got those shares at a discount, which means that they are already in the money. So it's a great incentive for those workers now to stay on for the next 5 years and to wait and at least get probably another half a million, if not more, and turn themselves into millionaires. So it's an incredible story. And there's a lot of financial fitness. They go through training on how to use the money. The workers who received the money, on the whole, have used it very well. Mm. They've paid off their housing bonds. They've paid off their debts. They've gone to kids' education and things like that. So they did prime the people as to how they should use the money.
Good for them. Good for them indeed. South Africa is embracing new building techniques in a bid to beat the housing backlog. Wow, that's a difficult one.
You know, we've got this housing backlog. I think between 1994 and 2010, we built 2.9 million houses, which is, again, not enough. But Only 17 of those houses were built through alternative building technologies. In other words, advanced building technologies that speed up the building process and cheapen it. So there's been a reluctance, particularly by end users, the people for whom the houses are being built. They don't like anything but brick and mortar. Mm. You know, so you've got to really convince them. And the Eric Malobi Housing Innovation Hub now, this is named after the late Eric Malobi. He was on Robben Island for many years. He was a great activist. And his whole idea was that we should get rid of these squatter camps and we should get rid of the shacks. So he advocated this idea of doing research into alternative building technologies. And now this is starting at last to come through. And you see that in the latest tenders being called on, I'm just looking for one for the Western Cape provincial government in Delft.
Yeah.
They've actually said you must use alternative building technology.
Jeez.
So they're now starting, starting to demand it. And we've seen even with some schools going up now, alternative building technologies and people who wanting to test their innovations can do so, you know, at this Eric Malobi Housing Innovation Hub. And we see them with their laboratory there. If the person submitting this test has to undertake to pay if it doesn't comply.
Yeah.
But if it complies, then there's no payment to be made. Oh. So it does get this through. And we see that over this last 7 years, they've realized where the faults are. We see some of the houses, that if they had gone through, it would have been bad because they're cracking up because they've got some test houses there. But others, very robust. So you can see that they're starting to get a handle on the alternative building technologies, which will mean faster building, cheaper building. Mm. And perhaps we can get rid of the whole shack idea, you know, and move to something better.
Gee, looking forward to how that one is going to pan out. Let's thank you very much, Martin Creamer, publishing editor of Engineering News and Mining Weekly. He'll be back at the coalface at the same time next Friday. Thank you very much, Martin.
Thank you, Kalani.